Well, this month, the Duterte presidency will mark its third year in office. He was sworn in on June 30, 2016. So by this month, he will have reached halfway through his term. If the results of the last elections are any guide, President Duterte remains very popular in his large base. As a Christian citizen, my disposition is to be supportive and deferent to a legitimate leadership. As a Christian minister, I have to say that there are serious issues that dismay me, both of his character and policies. But at least, he has term limits, provided he will not tamper with the constitution, that is. Imagine if a bad president has unlimited term and rules a country for 40 years. I'll tell you of a ruler who did just that, a bad ruler, and he ruled for 40 years in Israel. So I will begin a series of a biographical study of such a ruler, the first king of the nation. And I must confess that every time I reflect on the life of King Saul, my heart feels heavy. And I always conclude, every time I go through the passages again, and I do that every year, I feel the waste of opportunity given to this man. Napaka-aksaya, nakapanghihinayang ang mga oportunidad na ibinigay sa kanya bilang unang hari ng bansang Israel, at ito ay kanyang sinayang. Had it not been for such a twisted character, we might be mentioning his name followed by the great, Saul the Great. In Hebrew, the name of Saul reflects the disposition of Israel. Saul in Hebrew means ask for, hiningi. At ganun nga ang nangyari sa bayan ng Israel. After a series of defeats and then a refreshing victory, they concluded that what they needed was to have a king like other nations. And so they asked Samuel, whose role became the last judge, the last administrator among judges in Israel. They insisted that they should be given a king. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, the Mosaic Law provides for a time when the nation is going to have a king. So asking for a king as such was not wrong. What was wrong was the motive attached to it by the Israelites. They said, we want a king like the other nations. Gusto namin ang hari na katulad ng mga bansa. Ang sinasabi ng Panginoon sa kanila, ako ang inyong hari, kayo ay aking kaharian. And in the process of asking for a king like that of the other nations, they effectively was rejecting the kingship of Yahweh. And that in fact was what Yahweh told Samuel. After the people asked for a king, Yahweh revealed to Samuel, they are not rejecting you, but they are rejecting my kingship. So that's how the surrounding, that was the background of Saul coming into the picture. So Saul became the provision for what the people asked for. That's not a good beginning for the nation. But for Saul himself, the introduction to him of the Samuel narrative makes you very hopeful. I will read several and scattered passages. And just follow me along, but these are short passages. First Samuel chapter 9 verses 1 and 2. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechorath, son of Apaiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Jump to verses 15 to 17. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, tomorrow about this time I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because their cry has come to me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, here is a man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people. Then chapter 10, 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be the prince, to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage." Then verses 9 to 11 of chapter 10. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And then jump to verses 20 to 27. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come?" And the Lord said, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts God has touched. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. Our last passage is chapter 11, verses 12 to 15. Chapter 11, verses 12 to 15. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is it that said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has worked salvation in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal, and there renew the kingdom." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Now, each of those passages read reveals the character of Saul. And I say it is a very promising beginning for a simple man. He was a man from Benjamin. Benjamin was the smallest tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. So you can imagine that this was not a man who would be ambitious as far as his vision was concerned. But the fact that he is later portrayed at his worst, even this beginning has its problems. This will have to be a warning to us. If we are confident in what we are now, can it be sustained? If you look at Saul's beginning, you are hopeful. This is promising. But if you know the whole story, you know that soon he will reveal an ugly side to his character. I think there is a correspondence between the life of Saul and as warning to Christians today, because we are here dealing both with kingdom. The kingdom of Israel was in effect the kingdom of God, and yet it was given to the regency of Saul, and he made bad use of it. The kingdom of God is given to us in the rule of Jesus Christ, and we know that that kingdom is certain, but how are we conducting ourselves in that kingdom? My message is perseverance in the kingdom of God is of the inner character, not of the external. Ang pagpapatuloy sa kaharian ng Diyos ay sa panloob na karakter, hindi sa panlabas. So looking in hindsight, as we can only say that the characterization of Saul, while promising, was not lasting. And I think we can see here three contrasts of what are merely external, but not of the inner character of Saul. And I hope that will be a warning to us. First, impressiveness is not distinctiveness. Ang pagiging kahanga-hanga ay hindi katumbas ng pagiging mapanindigan. Impressiveness is not distinctiveness. Secondly, timidity is not humility. Ang pagiging mahiyain ay hindi katumbas ng kababaang loob. Timidity is not humility. And thirdly, tolerance is not forbearance. Ang pagpapalampas ay hindi pagpapahinuhod. Tolerance is not temperance. So we are seeing some of the characters of Saul on which you might have hoped, but ultimately they were all external. First of all, impressiveness is not distinctiveness. The first introduction of Saul is probably the way you would want to be introduced, but here Saul is described as very handsome and taller than others. And because of his looks and stature, he would be one to stand out in any company. In other words, look at this man, and what you have to say is admirable. I want to be like him. But that may just be the problem. Admiration is from the visual perspective of human observers, and it is skin deep. It will not last. God's kingdom does not thrive by impressive credentials. Ang kaharian ng Diyos ay hindi sumusulong sa paraan ng mga kahanga-hangang kagalingan ng tao. Credentials in society are a good thing. I have nothing against them. They bring you places, secure position, give authority. But the kingdom of Israel that began with the kingship of Saul is to be of another standard. Saul's impressive appearance clearly had an impact on Samuel. And in fact, he would learn his lesson. He must have appeared very manly. But the mistake was to think to be manly means to be kingly. When Samuel would later be sent by God to the house of Jesse in a secret mission to anoint the king who will succeed Saul, his first encounter was with the eldest of Jesse, Eliab. And again, Samuel thought, this must be the man. And listen to 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. It cannot be put more starkly how inner character is not external impressiveness. Ang panloob na karakter, huwag mong itulad o itumbas sa kahanga-hangang panlabas. I'm afraid that this lesson has not been seriously taken by the modern evangelical church. We are still very much propelled by admiration for credentials, for what is impressive. Who are today's celebrity ministers? What churches are sought after by politicians, especially during elections? Whose endorsement do they seek? Our mega churches put on a good display of the impressive in their services and activities, and in these places, a soul would be extolled. But this is not God's will in His kingdom. Let us learn that lesson. You know, it is like the genuine looking diplomas they craft in recto. They suddenly make an appearance of degree. But of course, it doesn't give wisdom. And this is what impressiveness does. My challenge to you, brethren, is be distinctive rather than impressive. To be distinctive is conduct by conviction. Ang naninindigan ay kumikilos ayon sa kanyang panloob na paniniwala. You must live by your conviction. A man of distinctives lives by conviction, even if that conviction is not shared by most around him. And a Christian ought to be such a man, because at conversion, he has come to accept the Word of God. That is the very least If I'm speaking to anyone who has not had that encounter with God's Word in its message of salvation in Jesus Christ, you must have that encounter with the gospel of Christ and see in Him Lord and Savior. And when you have been converted, then you own that Word as the defining core of your being. How can you be a man without conviction? At one point, Saul was thought to have been among the prophets because of an empowering spirit. The time will prove that Saul does not have core convictions. He was defined by moods and circumstances. And you follow the life of Saul and you will note how he despised the word from the prophet Samuel. It will be one of those sorry events in the life of Saul when there was a clear instruction from Samuel and he ignored it. We don't have a prophet who will tell us what to do today. We have the book. We have the scriptures. And we can treat the word of scriptures in the same way that Saul has treated the word of Samuel. So are you distinctive? Or are you just impressive? Is your conduct defined by conviction? One test is when you are in the company of admirers and praises are heaped upon you. This is one origin for young people of unequal yoking. You probably got your first real admirer. And you cannot resist the admiration. And soon, it leads to intimacy. So this is a test of our core conviction. When you are admired, we cannot avoid being admired or commended. But how you live through that is the real test whether you are living by conviction. Saul was probably surrounded with sycophants who daily filled his ears with praises and admiration. But beware, when admired for your external credentials, you might lose your footing of conviction. After John Bunyan preached in a congregation, a woman came to him and told him, "You are the best preacher I have heard." And John Bunyan said, "You are actually the second one who told me that. Who was the first? The devil did." Now, don't be rude to people who commend you, but at least take the attitude of John Bunyan, who will not drown in the commendation and praises of people. We have just opened Grace Ministerial Academy, and I'll say it is one of the most encouraging openings we have had, with so many coming new ones. And yet GMA does not offer any credential. We do not offer degrees, and I believe this is one of the bane of ministerial training today, when people are attracted to the credentials. While not wrong in themselves, as I have said, they often substitute for real training in the truth. So this is what happened to Saul. He was impressive, introduced very impressively, but had no conviction. Impressiveness is not distinctiveness. Secondly, timidity is not humility. At the point of his recognition, Lot was used and it was guided by God. Saul, when he was being searched, where was he? He was found hiding among the baggage. Nagtatago. So he might be cowering. He was not used to this attention and limelight. So, pinagtaguan niya. Pero hinila siya. And what we see here is the sign of timidity. Mahiyain tong si Saul. It is a most common mistake to think of timidity as equivalent to humility. It is not. The timid is easily frightened or perhaps overawed. Whether it is of a person or an activity, but in reality, he is under-challenged. Humility is the grace of the Spirit that accepts God's call, though mindful of unworthiness. Itong si Saul, umiiwas siya. Kung pwedeng pagtaguan. Hindi ganoon ang humility. Ang kababaang loob, tatanggapin ang ibigay ng Panginoon na responsibilidad, ngunit lagi niyang aaminin sa sarili, hindi siya karapat-dapat. Sa biyaya lamang ng Panginoon. You see this stark contrast in the very first encounter between Saul and his opposite, David. The occasion was the challenge of Goliath for any match to determine victory. So Goliath, imagine, was you have these two camps, the Philistines against the Israelites, and Goliath will go to the open field and issue the challenge twice a day for 40 days. Kahiya-hiya. And then, at the 40th day, David came. Pinadala siya ng tatay niya para magdala ng baon para sa kanyang mga kapatid na mga kawal ni Saul. So, and it was then that David reacted. No, he's not a proud, boastful man. He was hurt for his God. Who is this Goliath who is not of the covenant people? Who is he to challenge Yahweh? And he offered himself to Saul. And where was Saul? Cowering in his tent. All those 40 days that Goliath was issuing the challenge and the Israelites were cowering, where's the leader? Timid. Not humble. And David now offers himself to the challenge. And can you imagine Saul agreeing to have this boy challenge the giant? Soon, Saul will get rid of his timidity. He would become so greedy for his power that he would do everything bold in order to persecute David. So don't mistake timidity for humility. There is an animal known for timidity of behavior. It is the sloth. And the sloth can be motionless for hours. And it becomes easy prey to eagles. Sa mga agilang sumisila sa kanila. So, when you think of timidity, it's a personality type. Some are not timid. They are aggressive. And that too is not equivalent to zeal. But the point is that here was Saul introduced to us in his timidity, and yet he will prove not the humble person, no inner character. And finally, or the challenge rather, is that cultivate sustained humility before God and your fellow men. Linangin mo ang kababaang loob na nagpapatuloy sa harap ng Diyos at ng iyong kapwa. You know, in Hellenistic culture, that is Greek culture of the ancient history, the word humble was listed among what was considered negative character. To be called humble was considered an insult. They did not like the humble. Their society applauded the assertive and the ambitious, one who will not allow any advantage over him, yung mga ayaw magpalamang. Yan ang pinupuri sa kultura ng mga Griego. But this is opposite to Christian spirituality. Listen to Paul in Philippians 2 verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now that will grate in the ears of the ancient Greeks. And yet that's Christian virtue. David was a model of humility. But the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the perfection of humility. So Paul encourages the Philippians in Philippians 2:5, have this mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ Jesus. Accept the calling, high or low, that God has extended to you and seek to glorify the Lord where it is. William Carey was once asked what was the secret of his endurance. He said this, I can plod. You know, to plod is the opposite of brisk walking. The one who plods is able to accept the slowness of direction and progress. And that's what William Carey said in human terms, is how he managed to endure by the grace of God. He could accept the slowness of progress. He did not think he deserved to have fame and have all those achievements. He accepted even a slow progress. That's plodding, and that's why he endured. That's the humble. Finally, tolerance is not forbearance. Ang pagpapalampas ay hindi pagpapahinuhod. We see this after Saul's victory over the Ammonites. And that was wonderful. He led the people and they defeated the Ammonites. And then those who were relishing the victory suggested then to Saul, let us kill all these critics of yours. And Saul said, no one will die today, for we have been given great victory. Now this would have been a commendable gesture, only that it is not the inner character of Saul. Later, when he was persecuting David, pursuing him, he learned that a certain clan of priests provided him shelter, fed him. What did Saul do? He had all the clan of priests killed. So this is not a tolerant man. This is a man of blood. Forbearance is accepting the otherness of people as fellow creatures of God. Ang pagpapahinuhod ay pagtanggap ng kaibahan ng mga kapwa na mga nilikha rin ng Diyos. Saul's own tolerance would be exhausted soon when it was clear that David was the man after God's own heart. And he would seek to kill him. At one point, in a fit of rage, he even tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, for supporting David. So, no real tolerance there. Our world is filled with hatred based on color, race, and gender. It is a world with no place for it is a world that has no place for accepting others as image bearers of God. And that is because they have no place for the concept of creation. Christians who look at people of whatever color, whatever gender, whatever race, they believe that we all come from the same Adam, that we are creatures of God, and created in the image of God. Proverbs 22 verse 2 puts it this way, the rich and the poor meet together, the Lord is the maker of them all. There is a saying that no two snowflakes are the same. Hindi ko na-try. Pero, if that is true of snowflakes, it is even more true of people. No two people are the same. Even twins differ. That means there is a challenge to accept otherness. There is a challenge to accept that some people may not be like you in terms of their personality, in terms of their background, in terms of their knowledge, and so many things else. Cultivate love that forbears with the differences of others. Linangin mo ang pagpapahinuhod na may pag-ibig sa kabila ng pagkakaiba ng mga tao. Forbearance is the twin of forgiveness. Forgiveness pertains to sin. Forbearance pertains to annoyances. Yung mga nakakainis sa atin, pero hindi mo naman matatawag na kasalanan. Pag ang isang very organized na tao, naka-roommate ang isang kalat sa kanyang gamit, ay talagang very annoying. Pero, magbasa ka ng Ten Commandments, walang thou shalt organize your things. So, it's an annoyance but not sin. And for such differences, forbearance is called for. And again, the perfection of this is the Lord Jesus, of whom it was said in Matthew 12:20, quoting Isaiah, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench." Yung halos mapuputol na, hindi niya itutuloy na maputol. Yung halos mamamatay na, hindi niya hihipang mamatay. Hanggat may makikitang magagamit ng biyaya ng Diyos, kanyang gagamitin. The church ought to be a place where diversity is celebrated. While yet one in Christ, under the same word, we are diverse individuals, and we must have the grace of forbearance, not simply tolerate each other. Tolerate, simply palampasin. Forbearance is accepting. Accepting the difference. And our world is full of rejection because of a created otherness. You may be aware that the Nobel Peace Awardee in 2018 is Dr. Denis Mukwege from the Democratic Republic of Congo, also Nadia Murad. What they did was to minister to the sexually abused in the ongoing war in Congo. And what more to say, Dr. Mukwege is an evangelical Christian. He used his belief in the gospel to see the downtrodden, the oppressed in his society, and ministered to them. And the world took notice. That is the challenge to us. As we read through the life of Saul, what a waste. He could have been great. But he allowed the external to govern him. He was impressive, but he was not a man of core conviction. He was timid, but he was not a humble man. He was tolerant at a point, but there was no forbearance in him. A good beginning, we should learn here, does not guarantee perseverance. Look at your inner character. Are you the man that others say you are in their commendation when it is only between you and your God? Are you the man of inner character formed by God? Let us sing our last hymn, "Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Power." And this is a plea that we may truly love the Lord and then be able to overcome our proneness to darkness. It says in the second verse, "In darkness willingly I strayed, I sought thee, yet from thee I roved. Far wide my wandering thoughts were spread, the creatures more than thee I loved." Well, doesn't that many times happen to us? But let us seek that in the inner character of our souls, we will be the kind of man and woman that will be sustained in perseverance. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mapagbiyayang Ama, nawaing maging tunay na babala sa amin ang karakter ni Haring Saul, kung paanong nagkaroon siya ng magandang panimula, ngunit hindi natustusan tungo sa tunay na panloob na karakter. Father, help us, Lord, to be those who are what we are in your presence, not as people commend us, not as admirers praise us, but what we are when alone with you. And we pray, Lord, that we may be warned here that being impressive can yet be the character of a man who is without core conviction. And that is not what a Christian ought to be. For a Christian, from the beginning of his conversion, is one who has accepted the word as that which should shape and mold his inner conviction. So grant, Lord, that we may, by your grace, be able to live and conduct our lives by that inner conviction we have. And many times, that conviction will not be shared. And we will often be tested in those times when we are heaped with praise. We pray that we may live by what we know in our hearts and by what we believe, rather than by what commendation we seek. We pray also that we may be warned that the timidity that Saul demonstrated is not equivalent to humility, and we seek to be humble men. Humble in accepting your call, even though we feel our unworthiness. And we pray, Lord, that we may sustain this humility by looking to the Lord Jesus and have his mind, who, though equal with God, yet humbled himself. And help us, Lord, to be warned that tolerance is not the same as forbearance. Saul has demonstrated that for a while, but soon even his tolerance was gone. Help us to accept that the origin of man is your creation, and that every human being is your creature. And though we know of differences, may we accept, even celebrate the diversity that we have here in this church, and learn that kind of love that is able to forbear with one another. So we pray, Lord, that our character will be of the inner one, not external. And help us by your grace to so persevere. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.